things to talk about. First thing I want to say, though, is I hope the first thing I did was acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. I changed the collect for the day. You who are ardent Episcopalians may know that collect for the third Sunday in Lent that begins, O God, you know we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves, which sounds pious and sort of deferential toward God, but I think it's fundamentally and profoundly wrong. The question is, what kind of power do we have? The verse that I think of is, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for God is at work in you, giving you both the desire and the ability to change. Now chew on that for a while, because it's, if we have no power, then we are just pieces of wood floating down the river without any responsibility or agency. And that's just not who we are, and it's never how Jesus talked to us. So rather than say we have no power to help ourselves, either chew on that sort of paradoxical sense of work it out for yourself because God is at work in you, doing it with you. Work on that as a way of understanding the mysterious way our freedom and God's work together. Or think of it like God is the water and we are swimmers and we have to move our arms. You know, but God is the water through which we swim. And it's not that we have no power to help ourselves. We work with God. So, where I really want to start is in this passage from the passage about Moses. There are so many elements in this, so many contradictory elements. It is such a rich passage. Some of the commentators that I read speak about certain texts, especially in the Old Testament. They speak of them as texts in travail, texts that are on the way to something. Texts that reflect both genuine insight and vestigial prejudice. They don't get the whole story right. And this passage is sort of right there in that category. So Moses has a religious experience. He sees the burning bush. The bush is burned, and yet it does not consume. I look out, I don't know how many might have seen like the movie The Ten Commandments with a bush burning. Think of it a little more subtly than that, as a moment of vivid awakening. Moses, it's almost like what we're hearing is an account of Moses waking up, and the thing upon which his eyes fell was the bush. But the bush was unusually vivid, because Moses somehow had entered the present moment. And he was struggling with that mysterious sense, which I hope all of us have experienced, saying, whoa, I'm really here. I really exist. This is really going on. And the vividness of that stands in contrast to the sleepiness with which we pass most of our moments. And so Moses has come into this place of vividness. And one of the things I've thought for a long time, you know, is every bush burns for the one who knows how to see. The variable is not this is a particularly sacred spot, but rather Moses woke up to see the sacredness that would be there at every moment and in every context if he were just similarly awake. And also with that sense, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. It's all holy ground. It's all holy ground. And how much differently we would live as human beings on the earth and with creation if we understood that it's all holy ground. So we're building this text, this rich text. And then you get to another absolutely central part of Jewish spirituality. This voice of the divine, says, I have heard the cry of my people and their oppression by the Israel or by the Egyptians. So that you get in this passage a deep announcement. Unlike the stereotype, the God of the Old Testament is not a God of violence. The God of the Old Testament is a God of justice. And that was the seminal understanding of the Jewish people. God is a God of justice to which every human power on earth is answerable. Nobody on earth gets to call the shots because everyone and everything is answerable to the goodness and the compassion of God. And so we're announcing this. Then we start finding some flies in the ointment. And it's much the same as we discussed last week. Well, let me say one more thing because it also kind of sets it up. This great moment when Moses says, who shall I say sent me? Who are you? And there is then pronounced the name of God, which is so sacred that to the Jews that they will not pronounce it. And it's all variations on the verb to be. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I cause to be all that is. This is an ancient insight that would suggest to us that God is not a being, you know, not the old man in the sky, not a being, but being itself. The thusness of everything that is has a foundation underneath it that we call God. God is the being of everything that is and has caused all things to be. And that is actually, that is a theological insight that is completely alive today. Every time you hear me make reference to Paul's quote saying, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, in whom we live and move and have our, that's really referring to this sense of the divine as I am being. We all live and move and have our being within this divine reality. So now let me jump to the fly in the ointment, which is basically, though the Israelites are just at the edge of this profound insight into the nature of God, they can't quite let go of their tribal understanding. So that, as we talked about last week, you know, what they didn't understand is that the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Canaanites are also people of God. We all live and move and have our being within the ground of God. All of us spring from the same source. Every creature on earth springs from the same source. And again, that is an insight and a recognition that will change lives if we start living according to that light. And we're not there yet. We've struggled with it. I mean, how many times are the boundaries still drawn? This is for us, and they don't get to participate. And the conflicts will just persist. We'll never get by them until we understand that we are all brothers and sisters. We all come from the same place. We may conceptualize our experience differently. We may say different things. But our tradition gives us a space in which to affirm that deeper than all our different ideas about God and who we are and what's right in the world, we affirm one God as the source of all, to whom we all belong. And that is our pledge, that we are going to live in the truth of that and treat other people as if we knew they were our brothers and sisters. Briefly about the gospel. The gospel is an interesting thing. There are a couple of incidents. The first one, there's apparently no record of it. Pilate mingling, sounds like a kind of a temple scandal where human blood was mixed with animal sacrifice as a way of defiling. And, you know, I mean, the Romans were not particularly friendly toward the people they occupied, and if they could do things to agitate, they would. And then there was an accident, maybe, in which 18 workers were killed when a tower fell on them. Although one commentator said, just remember, when the Romans were coming in to suppress an insurrection, what they did is they pulled down buildings. They pulled the buildings down, and so when people are killed with a building falling on them, that would probably sound to those contemporaries as if it at least echoes the Romans putting down an insurrection. So you could then hear Jesus saying, if you keep thinking that the answer is in violent overthrow of our oppressors, you're wrong and you're all going to die. It's just going to end in violent death. There's got to be a different way. And of course, Jesus would have been pursuing a path of peace. You know, if your enemy asks you to go 1 mile, go 2, carry his pack. I mean, that's the relationship that Jesus was promoting to the Roman oppressors. But what I want us to hear in the gospel is kind of a parallel to the book of Job. Do you remember how in the book of Job, Job was a prosperous guy, and then because of some fairly shady dealings in the court of heaven, kind of a barroom bet, it always sounds like to me, Job starts to decline. And his friends say, well, it's because you've done something wrong. And Job says, no, it's not. There's no relation between the suffering I'm experiencing and what I've done. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And Jesus is saying, in a sense, the same thing. These people died. Do you think they deserved it? Are you reading the world that way? Like events have meaning, God made that happen? And Jesus says, that's not the way things work. Now, as if I even need to say this. I don't know how God's presence interacts with events in the world. And none of you do either. But again, it's like there's a mysterious interpenetration, a mysterious interaction about God and the world. I have a very deep sense that God is not a micromanager. And yet, you also say on the other side, not a sparrow falls to the ground, but your Father is aware of it. And so, you get a sense of a presence, again, being the source of all that is present to events, but is not necessarily making them happen. If you start saying God makes everything happen that does happen, then the problems multiply rapidly out of control, and you start living in a completely incoherent universe. Why did God make that happen, or that happen, or that happen? And the reality is we just don't know. But we know God is present. We know we have a role to play. We know that we can affirm with depth and power that we all come from the same source. It's just that we can't read the world saying, oh, prosperous, blessed, suffering, cursed. Events in the world don't have meaning attached to them in that way, at least if we can believe Jesus. He didn't seem to think they were. So we're left today with lots of mysteries. We're left with the mystery of God as being, permeating all things, near to all things, sustaining all things. And we're left with the mystery of how our limited human freedom interacts with this power that sustains us. I mean, like every one of us in this room at this moment is animated by and sustained by the living presence of God. And most of us, most of the time, are not anywhere or at all aware of that. But we are called day by day, all our spiritual disciplines are meant to increase in us the awareness that we are alive. We live and move and have our being with God, and so do you. And then to live in the truth of that. Amen.